Teachers try and find ways to get students to stop texting and taking calls on their cell phones during the class time. It came to a head in Port Hardy when a teacher installed a cell phone jammer, only to discover, due to his students, it was illegal. It was taken down, but the battle is still brewing. And joining me on the line to talk more about this is Richard Smith. He is a professor at the School of Communications at SFU. Richard, thanks for being with us this morning.
Hi, you're welcome.
So I don't think it's a surprise to anyone who has teenagers or anyone who is a teacher that cell phones are everywhere. Every teen seems to have one.
Yeah, it's pretty much ubiquitous now.
And so what do you think about this, the battle over teens in schools answering the phones and texting during class?
Well, I think it's no doubt disruptive to traditional models of education, and it's something that teachers who are, you know, they're contractually bound to teach the provincial curriculum, and they have their usual way of doing things, and this new technology is very disruptive to that.
Are there schools, or do you know of any place where they've simply been banned and that's worked?
When you have to define, has it worked? I think you'd not likely find a school where students have somehow given up their phones because of the ban. They to varying degrees, schools enforce, put in these bans and enforce them, and the results tend to be mainly that students just get better at hiding their phones.
Or have more than one phone.
Yeah, I guess, yes. A phone to give away when caught.
So what should teachers be doing then? Because it does seem like this is something we're at the point now where we're not going to have teens coming to school without cell phones. So, I mean, do they work cell phones into the curriculum, or how do they get around this?
Well, I think the first thing to do is, especially with older teenagers, you know, once they're in high school, they have to get engaged in a dialogue with teenagers about the real risks, because there are risks. There's risks from distracting yourself and, you know, having lower academic performance, and there's risk to others by distracting them. And so the teachers have to get into a dialogue about that, just the way that they have to get into a dialogue about, you know, safe sex and all that other stuff. And you can't just ban those things. You have to talk to people about those risks and figure out ways around it.
I loved one of the quotes from one of the students in Vancouver said that she does keep her cell phone on in the classroom, but not to worry that if it rings, she goes outside of the classroom to answer it, which to me was just incredible. Okay, so you're distracting people by getting up and going outside, and then you're missing class time because you're answering the phone. But that seemed to be, to her, in her mind anyway, that seemed to be the best case scenario.
Yeah, and I think what that highlights, I think, is the bigger problem is that the curriculum to high school students is seemingly either irrelevant or something that they can pop in and out of. And that's kind of a bigger systemic problem that we need to engage with, really, is how to make education exciting and interesting and relevant for young people so that they're not so interested in being distracted. And at the same time, we do have to provide guidance. I mean, they're not going to recognize the risks. Young people are notoriously, they believe nothing could ever go wrong with them, and that affects their driving and their sexual behavior and everything. So they're not going to see the risks of distraction, so we have to get into it with them. But the problem with a ban is it kind of removes your standing as someone to have a discussion with. And that's I think, the bigger problem. So if we have to do something other than a ban, and we still have to engage with the challenge, and I think it starts with dialogue and an open and responsible dialogue, and you sort of have to get, you have to not be on the ban side. One thing you could do is to actually work ways to use the phones responsibly, because this isn't a necessarily bad thing, like maybe a switchblade or something. I mean, obviously, there's some good to cell phones. So if you can work out something that you could use it for, then you can start having that dialogue.
I would imagine, too, and this might be way out there, and teachers might cringe hearing this, but something even saying having a pop quiz and the teacher has a cell phone at the front and the first one to text in 3 correct answers, or the first one to text the 5 or whatever answers to the quiz gets an A on the quiz. At least then students are using their phones, but they're not texting their friends and they're still doing the work.
That's right. I do that, in fact, in my university classes. There's some useful tools that can help you aggregate those text messages, or you can just certainly have them to your own cell phone. And, you know, show that you are aware and also model good behavior, right? Turn off your phone if it's an important thing, or maybe you show how to use it responsibly, just like teachers always have to realize that they're teachers when they're on their way home and at home, that they have to model good behavior for their students.
I would imagine, too, if a teacher pleaded ignorance or didn't have a cell phone, didn't know about texting, that's not going to get a lot of respect from the students.
Yeah, although I don't think it's the death knell. In fact, you could, engage your students in helping you, right? Help you pick a phone, help you pick a plan, help you learn how to use it. You could get, certainly grade 11 and 12, maybe even grade 10 students could have a project on what could we do responsibly with our phones and have a dialogue about when it's not a good idea to have your phone out. I mean, the research is pretty clear that people who are distracted in the classroom are not going to do as well academically as people who aren't distracted. So that's something that you can talk to students about and try and work out a strategy that would see them do well in school and still have the toys that they want to have.
Is part of it also, we're dealing with people ages 16, 17, 18. I mean, we're not dealing with kids in grade one. Many of these students are busy. They have part-time jobs. They have a lot going on in their lives. They're certainly, in many cases, living very adult lives at that point, treating them as so and not, scolding them, saying, put that phone away. I'm going to take that phone away from you. But treating them as the adults, as they're acting like adults.
That's right. I mean, the world has changed dramatically, and the whole part-time job is one thing. The other is that children are looking after other people, maybe younger siblings or grandparents, or they have a lot of responsibilities, and the cell phone is a way of managing those responsibilities. So if you step in with a ban, you're really denying the reality of their lives. And the students can find ways around this, but we need to get them into a discussion about that.
All right. Well, I'm sure cell phones aren't going anywhere, and we will be having this discussion again. But, Richard, thanks so much for being with us today.
My pleasure.
Richard Smith, he's a professor at the School of Communications at SFU.
You're listening to the CKNW Saturday Morning News with Joe Bennett.